Good morning, everyone. You know, it's kind of an economic soap opera. I think we should get a theme for Cash for Clunkers. Today's episode, last week on Cash for Clunkers, you know, the Senate actually reauthorized Cash for Clunkers for $2 billion. But this week, it's kind of a let's make a deal sort of follow-on to the Cash for Clunkers story, which, of course, has increased car sales for some of the manufacturers. GM has announced that starting today, in a partnership with eBay, they're going to sell their new cars online. Now, you've been able to click and buy a lot of cars.
Used cars.
Using the internet. And this partnership with eBay could be a game changer, but I really want to know. So that's why we've asked Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter at the New York Times, to help us out with the details here. Now, why is GM discovering eBay anything other than an embarrassment for General Motors at this stage? They've been around for a while.
Of course, but they're hoping to reach a younger demographic. If you noticed, they did not put Cadillac on this eBay deal. You know, so I think that's because those are the older drivers. But they're trying to get the younger demographic in, and they think that the internet is a good way to do it.
So who benefits? Is it the consumers who are looking to buy cars, because you can buy cars on eBay right now, or is it the dealers who are trying to unload their inventory?
So, you know, could be to the benefit of both. You know, there are consumers who might not like haggling in a dealership, and this gives you kind of, you know, anonymity to go online and offer a lower price to the dealer. So you might get a better price as a consumer, but it also could be very good for the dealers.
Now, how could it be good for the dealers?
There is a lot of inventory that hasn't sold, you know, in some models of cars. And so this lets dealers in California, is where it's starting, compete to get this inventory off their lots.
Now, typically, is that how it plays out? Say I bid $11,000 on some, you know, Ford vehicle or General Motors vehicle or some Chevrolet. What's a Chevrolet model?
Cobalt. I don't even
know. Cobalt. A Chevrolet Cobalt. I bid $11,000 on that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the sticker price is $14,000. The dealer that I'm dealing with says, sorry, can't help you, but in Grand Forks, North Dakota, they go, sure, we'll sell you one for $11,000. Is that how it really works, or is that just theoretical?
I think it's theoretical when you're talking about across state lines. The test is starting in California, but certainly it allows dealers within a larger regional area to counterbid.
Right. Fresno will give you the 11.
You know, I think I would
people
drive.
People in Fresno are reasonable.
And, you know, I might drive, you know, an hour to get a car a lot cheaper, right? So that kind of regional competition could be good.
But what about the idea that, in fact, the dealers will just sort of conspire to keep the price at the same level, and you may have this sort of game called eBay, I pretend to get a good deal, but it doesn't work out that way.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, well, when was the last time you bought a car?
Have you talked to any of these dealers? There's 225 of them. You really think that they're concerted enough to make that kind of conspiracy?
Well, there's got to be a dealer we can get on the phone here.
I don't know any.
Yes, you do. There's John McElhaney, who's the Iowa GM Toyota dealer, chairman of the National Association of Automotive Dealers, who we talked with just as recently as yesterday.
That's
John?
Correct.
Good morning.
I'm pushing back kind of hard on this eBay thing. What's wrong with my argument here, John?
Well, it's an experiment. I think it's indicative of GM trying to change their culture and the culture in their dealers, at least with a segment of the population. So I think it's a novel approach, and I think while the majority of people probably don't want to purchase a car this way, there is a segment that do. And so I give them credit for getting out in front of the curve and experimenting with it. This is a pilot program in California only. And I'm sure they'll learn something from the pilot, and hopefully it'll be something customers respond to, and it helps GM and its dealers sell some vehicles.
But are the dealers worried about this? Is this a way that to finally get rid of the dealers altogether and eliminate the middleman?
I don't believe so. The over time, you know, there has been the manufacturers have attempted to buy dealerships. Some manufacturers have attempted to sell direct. None of those models have worked. The dealer system really is the most efficient distribution system from the manufacturer's perspective because they have no investment, they have no cost. Really, all that cost is offloaded to the dealers. And the dealers are an integral part of this program. They're not being cut out. They are involved with it's their inventory. They make the decisions on pricing. They are involved in the delivery. Sometimes there'll be a trade-in or financing that will require a buyer to complete some of the transaction at the dealership.
It's a little more flexibility, a little more sort of user beware or user supplied labor here that maybe is responsible for some of the cost savings. The thing that I'm having a problem with, though, is John, you were on the show yesterday or the other day just saying that you know, dealers are having trouble holding on to inventory. Mm-hmm. Why would they do this now, even if just in California?
Well, the current inventory situation is kind of an anomaly because of the conservative nature of dealers and manufacturers throughout the recession, and then with the spike up of cash for clunkers that caused inventories to drop. I think this program has been in planning for some time, and it wasn't just kicked off, you know, in the last few days because of the reflecting the inventory situation. Reality is dealers typically have plenty of inventory. They do have, as one of your folks mentioned earlier, aged inventory that they are anxious to sell to get off the lot. Not necessarily undesirable merchandise, but just something they've had too long, or maybe a duplicate, maybe a canceled sold order.
Cobalt. I think one of the best things about this, John, and maybe Louise agrees with me, is that this removes the need for me as a female to bring a male with me and get respect on the car lot.
You are going to get emails on that. Ooh.
I don't want to touch that one.
I'm just saying, when I went to go buy my first car, I had neighbors offering to go with me to make sure that I didn't get haggled out of a good price on my car.
Well, and it could be an issue also, you know, for minorities or different people who might not always get the same deals depending on the chemistry they have with the dealer.
Yeah, that could happen. And I would say this, over time, the negotiation element in the sale, it's still there in most cases, but it's diminished somewhat. The way the manufacturers price vehicles now, there's, you know, with packages of options and limited margins and incentive programs, there isn't as much of that going on today.
Yep. Thanks, John. That's John McElhaney of the National Association of Automobile Dealers. We're also joined by Louise Snow at the New York Times. And now
there's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.